This is not the Kevin Trudeau show. This is TCTAUnleashed.com. That's TCTAUnleashed.com. We're going to be doing a music show. Can you believe such a thing? Yeah, we're going to be doing a music show. What kind of music show is it? Let me tell you what sort of music show it is. It's the Sean's Not All There edition of a music show. Oh, yes. If you haven't checked out the latest article I wrote, get on over to TCTAUnleashed.com. TCTAUnleashed.com and check out the latest article I wrote. Apparently, Sean's not all there. That racist, that anti-Semite. Hell, he's just not there. You know, the dude that has helped create and run radio stations throughout all of these years. No, he just doesn't have the intelligence. He's mentally retarded. Apparently, because he's obsessive compulsive, this puts him in some form of, oh, just a terrible state, according to the stupid bitch mother of my children. She can go fuck herself. Again, doing a music night tonight. This one's for Shield Maiden, the Aviators. Requiem for the King. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Sean's Not All There edition of the Music Night. Hey, stop laughing. You, I haven't introduced you yet. What are you doing? We've got the beautiful Shield Maiden with us right now. How are you, Shields?
I'm doing good. Sorry I'm running late. I had to go to two different places to try and find Tylenol, so.
Women, man, I tell you. They're just.
I know.
They're never on time, you know. Yep.
Oh, whatever, but I'm here now. It's all good.
Yeah, it's all good. It's all good because she says so, right? You know?
Exactly. Yeah. That's how it works.
That statement was loaded with estrogen right there. Just
whatever.
How you doing anyway, Shields? What's been going on?
Oh, just, you know, same shit, different day. I mean, I wish I had some exciting news, but my life just isn't that interesting.
You know what the captain says? You're going to love this. The captain says this to me. He says, I get up there and I say, "Ahoy, captain!" When I turn up on my bicycle into his driveway there. "Ahoy, captain!" And he's like, "Oh, no one's home!" And I say, "Oh, shit, good, I can rob the place." And then he says, out of the other side of his mouth, he says, I say, "How you going?" He goes, "Groundhog Day." I went, "What? Groundhog Day. Same thing every fucking day." Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's, well, you know, that's some of our lives. You get up, you go to work, you scratch your nuts in the morning, you brush your teeth, you have your shower, you shit, shower, shave, shine, and shampoo. Then you go
well,
and
unless
do...
you're an estrogen, I don't think you're scratching nuts.
Oh, well, that's true too. Although, well, you know, some of the feminists out there lack so much estrogen, I think they've got bigger nads than me. So that's pretty scary.
That might be the case.
Shit.
And already the conversation is degenerating. Don't you love this?
It really doesn't take long when we're doing a music show, you know.
It really doesn't. I'm disappointed that our mascot Jasper isn't here. He needs to do something about that.
You know, where's he been? Like, he doesn't attend the chat room anymore, the whole lot. I think, you know, some people do get disheartened. Was it you, Maiden, that sent me that video that said why people are getting out of the white nationalist movement? It's because they're just getting disheartened as to where their world is going, their country is going.
No, I don't think I sent that one. I'm not sure who sent that one to you.
Oh, it might have been Hooli then. It might have been Hooli. I get over to Hooli's website once in a while. Hooli's blog.blogspot.com, ladies and gentlemen. W-H-O-O-L-I blogspot.com. L-I-S. Yeah, I'll get it right on the night. So, yeah, W-H-O-O-L-I-S. Blogspot. Oh, fuck me. Talk about a tongue twister. You know, I can do
tongue... Johnny's already had a few beers, in case you can't tell.
You're right, exactly. Well, it's a music night, so you've got to have a few beers. The thing is, well, it's just my natural night when I'm not working. If I'm not working, I'm drinking. The thing is, you know what? I can actually do that, a proper cup of coffee in a cup of coffee pot. No, a proper cup of coffee and a proper cup of... fucking hell, I can't do tongue twisters tonight. I'm going to have to leave them to when I'm sober. Bit tipsy at the moment, enjoying myself, albeit that I've had a little bit of stress going on. I'm still enjoying myself.
Well, that's
myself.
Why you need to enjoy yourself, because you have had stress going on. So
exactly.
Have a beer.
You know what really made me happy is that I've had emails coming in saying, "Sean, thanks for being so candid about... how you've been discussing what's going on in your life, because it's helped me out knowing that there's other people out there." Now, some people would say, "Oh, well, if they don't know what's going on out there, then they must somehow be some sort of like, they're inside themselves, right? And they don't get out much." Well, you know, for some of us, we don't. And there's a good reason for that. We're inside ourselves because we're sick to death of what the fuck is going on out there in society at the moment. What's going on in our families and everything due to the brainwashing and then the bullshit.
Well, and what's worse is that we were just talking about this earlier. It's hard to talk to people these days because most of them are so brainwashed with the propaganda that even when the truth about, you know, certain realities like race and whatnot is right in front of their face... If you say that, if you point it out, it's like, oh, you know, it's like a fart in church. Like, people just lose their minds. And so it's hard for me to talk to people because when they start saying stupid, politically correct things, I'm like, I just get kind of silent, Maiden, because I know I'm not going to change their mind.
Maiden, wait a second. Can you back up for a second? Did you say a fart in church?
I did say that.
What the? Ladies don't talk about farts, let alone one in church. That's something us blokes do deliberately. It's like, oh, pull my finger. Oh, did the priest
hear? Well, I wasn't saying that I was going to be the one doing that in church, Tony. It's just a figure of expression.
Wow. Oh, at least we know what you girls get up to when you're in the back row of church. And yeah. Jeez, I didn't even think of that one. We used to take a piece of paper and we'd chew on it until it got all yucky and gooey, even try and hawk one up, you know, make it really disgusting. And then we'd flick it at the priest while he wasn't looking and he'd turn around and he's got this thing stuck to his back. And every time...
Oh, that's so wrong, Shawnee.
It really was, but it was so much fun, you know. I had a friend called Sean, and my name's Sean, so they used to call us the Terrible Two. Sean and Sean, oh, you got to watch out for them. They make spit bubbles that are made out of goobers, and they will throw that stuff at you if you're not looking.
And I could see you being that child, too. This doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, let's be honest.
You have no idea some of the stuff we got up to. Oh, geez, it was fun. Anyway, this is a music night, so we better get some music going. People are going to be like, oh, God, they're talking about goobers. It was all Shieldmaiden's fault. She fart.
People are going to think I actually did that. No, it's a figure of speech, people. I'm a lady, okay? I don't do things like that.
She felt the need to explain herself. All right, I'm going to play this one for the occasion. The Lost Boys. We're all lost here, I'm telling you. Jesus. Lost in the Shadows. Smell. Maiden. Oh. I'm going to be playing is something that was created on a computer called the Amiga. Some of you in Europe may know about it. Some of you in America may know about it. There's not a hell of a lot of Australians that understand what the Amiga was. Very, very good machine for making computer music and everything like that. You record your sounds, like, individually. You record a guitar, you record a drum set, rah, rah, rah. And then you go to work and put those instruments together to make a song. Well, the next one that's going to be coming up is called Doogie Wind, and it was done with a piano sample. And the person that wrote it was just absolutely brilliant. Like to make a request, you can do so by calling in 512-487-7226. That's 512-487-7226. Otherwise, you can just get onto the chat room, tctaunleashed.com. That's tctaunleashed.com. Make your requests. You know, we throw these music nights out at just on the whim, so a lot of people don't know we're doing them. But then when they download them, they go, you know what, that was a pretty fucking fantastic music show, Sean. I say, yeah, well, where were you? Well, I didn't know you were going to do it. And whatever. So I have a song for you, mates. I have a song for you.
What's that?
Okay, it's this one. I'm all alone. There's no one left beside me. Right? There's no one making requests
yet. But you gotta have friends.
Well, Sean doesn't have friends because he's not all there. Like, seriously, I'm not all there, mate. Are you all there? I mean, who is all there these days? Let's define all there. How the fuck can you be?
No, I was going to say, who is all there? I'm sure as hell not. Not in this crazy effed up world.
Effed up? You can use the word here. It's okay. Come on. I dare you. I double dare you. Come on. Come on.
I don't usually swear that much unless I'm really pissed off, and then I sound like you.
That's awesome. Hey, you know, she sat there and she said, yeah, the world is pretty effed up. But yet she was daring to fart during the last song. It was unbelievable.
It was not. Stop lying. You are so full of crap, Johnny.
I'm joking. She doesn't fart, at least not in public. You know, women are strange creatures because, you know, you sort of sit there and you go, ladies don't fart. What are you talking about, dude? Come on now. They don't. And then all of a sudden in the corner they hear this. And you go, what the? Where did that come from? I was at the captain's just yesterday. Oh, his missus is going to kill me for this one. Oh, yes, she is. I was out the captain's yesterday, and she said, oh, can you help me with something? I need some heavy lifting. I said, yeah, no worries. So I walk over, and I start heavy lifting. And as I walked past, I heard this, and I thought, get out of here. That just doesn't happen. Like, what's wrong with you? And I'm looking at her, and she's got this shit-eating grin on her face. So I look across to my dog, and I go, Snoopy, don't you do that again. Because I couldn't fathom the idea that the captain's missus would do such a thing. And to this day, I just don't fathom it, maiden. You just don't, right?
Well, I'm not going to say anything, because I'm just going to let Helen be mad at you instead of both of us.
She wasn't mad. She just laughed. Oh, well, she'll be mad when she hears this, yeah.
But that's what I mean. You can get yourself into trouble. I'm staying out of it.
She'll be like, did you really say that on air? I'll be like, slap. Like, yeah. No, she lets me have it when she has to. She was just yesterday, in fact, like, she slapped me right in the back of the head for something I said. I won't even go into detail. But, yeah. No, the captain and I like to have a little bit of fun and poke and prod and throw a little bait out there and zzz, reel it in. And then when she realizes that we're having a little bit of fun with it, she looks at me and she goes, you were a part of this, weren't you? No.
You sound so guilty too when you try not to lie. It's so obvious.
Exactly. You know what? You're better off telling the truth, except with when you're doing mischievous stuff like that. Like, oh, you'll love this one, mates. Here we go with the fart jokes. Right? Yeah, walking through the supermarket when I was young, when I was a teenager, I used to walk up behind people and go, just make the sound. And people would go, they'd look around as if like, who the hell was that? Well, I walk up behind this dude once and he's really tall. Like he's it was probably like six foot two. And, I'm 5'10". So that gives you an idea of how high he was compared to me. And I sort of walk over and I get right up behind him with my biological brother and I go, aww, like this. And this bloke looks around as if, who was that? And I'm looking at my brother as if like, what are we shopping for again? Oh, look, let's grab some bacon. So we start walking down and he goes, you are a dickhead. My brother says, you're a dickhead, Sean. I said, why? And he goes, you know who that is? I said, no. He goes, it's Alan Bond. I was like, come off it. That's not Alan Bond. And I look around, it's Alan Bond. It's that rich dude.
Who is Alan Bond?
Oh, he's like a real rich entrepreneur. He was almost politician-like. And people just don't do that sort of thing in front of Alan Bond. Well, me being me, I walk up behind him and go...
Of course you would, of course. Yeah. You know what? That reminds me of... remember the blue-collar comedy tour when Larry bought the remote control fart machine and he went around the mall, like, pushing it?
Oh, you're talking about Larry the Cable... I didn't see that
one. Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah, Larry the Cable Guy. I love that dude. He's bloody awesome. I love the fact that he's sitting there... and he's telling a story, and one of these girls in the audience goes, I love you, Larry! And out of nowhere, he just goes, I told you to wait in the truck.
That's right, yeah. That was a good comeback on that one.
Oh, shit, yeah, he's quick. He's really witty. All right, let's get to another song, shall we? Now, this one I want to play is called Doogie Wind. Now, it was made on the Amiga. It's 63K in size, if that gives you an idea, compared to the size of an MP3 or a Wave.
It doesn't at all, because I don't understand this crap.
Okay, well, I wasn't talking to you. I was talking to the audience.
Well, I'm just letting you know. I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course I was talking to you, mate.
I'm not a computer person.
I'm talking to everybody. Of course I'm talking to you as well. But no, it's 63K in size, which means, okay, this will give you an idea. For those of you who don't understand, given that Maiden doesn't understand it, what happens is a CD, not a DVD, a CD is 650 to 700 megabytes. And you know how much you can fit on a CD when it comes to a few movies or something like that. Well, to give you an idea, this song is not even close to 1 megabyte. All right? In size. Your average MP3 that runs at about, let's say probably 3 minutes... will cost you almost 4 megabytes. This song is 63K, which is not even 1 megabyte. 1 megabyte is 1024K. So this song is 63K. Take a listen to this. Thank you. How's that one for you, mate? 63K, not even one single meg. So it would literally...
That's a nice little tune.
Yeah, it would literally take me to send you that as long as what it would take to send a text document, if that gives you an idea. That's how small it is. Back in the day, when the Amiga came out, what you would do is just record middle C on the piano. So, for instance, you put the microphone beside the piano, you hit middle C, and then... you use that middle C sound to play the piano on the computer keyboard, or at least code it into something like Fast Tracker 2, where you could track your sound and everything like that. And they were so small, it's not funny.
Well, that's pretty cool. It almost sounded like a harp in some places.
Yeah, because what happens is when you do actually record it in middle C, it's, of course, going to sound a little bit off when you get into higher notes and things of that nature. So, yeah, but it was brilliant for its time because there was nothing like it that had ever been seen. A lot of people were using what was called the Atari ST at the time. And
I'm not going to lie. I miss the old school technology, like playing the Super Nintendo. Remember how fun those games were? I just enjoyed those more because... I don't know. I thought they were better than some of the games today. I think they're almost too elaborate. Back then, it was like you just plug it in and play, you know?
I tell you what, I'm not letting my son hear this show. He's going to be so disappointed in you.
I'm sorry. I am an old school gamer, okay? I don't give a shit about the new games. I'm all about The Legend of Zelda and that good stuff.
Yeah. Coming from the girl that watched one of the videos that Jack and I did and where I got attacked by a goat,
that's right. I'm sorry, but that was awesome.
I can't find it. I've been looking at you. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm playing this game, and it's a reality game where you have to survive. It's a survival game. You have to plant
food.
Yeah,
it's called Rising World.
Yeah. You have to mine for metals. You have to build houses. You have to plant seeds. And Jacko from Jacko's Lantern and I had a server running, and he had his pumpkin garden going and everything like that. He had a next door house to mine. You build your own cabins and the whole lot. And then all of a sudden I walk up to this goat and I slap it around the head just as a joke, but the bloody feral came after me and near on chewed my face off. I was like, what the, get the, like, didn't it, maiden? It took off after me like I was its
well,
hoon.
That's right. What was funny is that you yelled at it for like 5 minutes. You were cussing out this goat, and then you ran back into your house, and you were like, well, I'm going to hide here just in case there's more feral goats out there.
It was fantastic, but scary at the same time. I thought, I'm going to get killed by a goat. Like, you know, how often do you get to say that? Oh, my God, I just almost got my ass whipped by a goat. This doesn't happen.
I know, but that is a great game, though. I do love the simplicity of it, though. I like simple games like that. That's just more my speed.
Simple? Are you joking? Jacko had to make some super magic sword to get that shit growing.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Yeah. It was like...
That's right. Y'all got the whole garden up, and then you said you were going to blame me for stealing the corn.
You're right. All the strawberries and the watermelon. Like, seriously.
That's right.
Well, maybe not the watermelon. There'd be niggas that do that. But the strawberries, definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, we built this whole thing. I even built an Outback Dunny, like, that we have occasionally still here in Australia. Can you believe it? Here in Australia, they still have what we call the Outback Dunny, which means you have to walk out of the house and you go out to this little tiny, tiny shack thing and sit on the dunny there. Yeah, like, and full of redbacks, mind you. Oh, the fun. Redbacks are spiders here, maiden, that can kill you quite quick. You know, it's almost as bad as drop bears. Watch out. You gotta watch out for him. All right.
Isn't that what you got bitten by like 2 years ago or something?
Yeah. I got hammered by a redback. It didn't kill me, of course. I'm still here. But the thing is, what I did was I laid down on the couch thinking I've been bitten by something. It started to itch at first, then it started to burn. No. That was the one where I woke up and I thought, hold on a second, what's going on here? And I felt something, and then I woke up the next day and I looked and I found the dead redback just beside that, not far from the couch. And I thought, shit, I've been bitten by a redback. And it gave me vertigo. Every time I got to my feet, I couldn't stand up. I had to sit back down. And I thought, oh, shit. Yep,
That probably should have gone to the doctor for that one.
Everyone said that. They said you probably should have called an ambulance because, you know, you're an asthmatic and stuff like that. You could have ended up like with respiratory problems and all sorts of things. And I did, like, it was hard to breathe, that sort of stuff, but I thought, you know, oh no, I'm making it through it. It was not a pleasant time though. They're equivalent to your Black Widow. Except your Black Widow has the hourglass under its abdomen, which is ours has the little red stripe on its back, on the back of its abdomen, so you can see it from the top. That's the only difference. When I was in LA, in fact, Maiden, some of the audience might be interested to hear this. When I was in LA, this dude had his laundry outside, so you had to walk out his back door and then down this little laneway beside the house into the laundry. And as I was walking down there, I'm thinking, what the hell? There's Black Widows everywhere. I'm thinking, what the hell? See, our redback tends to hide in dark places. It will hide in a toilet or in a pipe, something like that, even in a boot. That's why when you're going to put your boots on in here in Australia, especially in the Alpines, you shake your shoes out to make sure there's no whitetails or redbacks in there, because otherwise they'll bite your ass. But the Black Widows, they're a little bit different habitually, because what they do is they stay out during the day. So as I was walking to do my laundry, I'm stuck up against the wall of the house and I'm shuffling across almost like I'm going to fall off a cliff because, you know, I'm arachnophobic. So I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, what the fuck, this is fucked up. And I shuffle across and then I do my washing. And I said to David, which is a bloke I was hanging out with at the time, you've got Black Widows all the way down there. He goes, yeah, I know. And I said, well, how many people get bitten? He goes, nobody, because they don't go near them. I said, well, yeah, I'm one of those people. I'm not going to go near them either. Like, that was crazy. They stay out in the daylight compared to our redback.
I know. See, that's why I want to live someplace really cold, because there's no creepy crawlies.
Oh, you know what? Yeah, Australia's not a place for you if you don't like creepy crawlies, because
no, I've already decided, Shawnee, if I ever come over there to visit you, I'm going to come when it's like 15 degrees outside, okay? It's going to have to be freezing cold for me to visit you.
Now, by 15 degrees, ladies and gentlemen, for those of you in Australia, she's talking Fahrenheit. Because
yes,
15 degrees here is actually not too bad. Like at the moment, I'm running 22 degrees. I'm wearing a flannelette shirt and a pair of jeans, and this is quite pleasant for me. This is because we're heading into spring. You're heading close to winter, aren't you?
Yeah, and it's about freaking time. It's still hot out here, and I hate it.
Whatever. Ladies and gentlemen, blasphemy. All right. This way. Yeah. Now, this song I'm about to play, Nightwish done a song called Bye Bye Beautiful, and it was a great heavy metal song, but some dude remixed it. He's a DJ called Orkidie, and he did a remix of this one particular song, and I didn't mind this. You know, I don't like techno, and I don't mind a bit of trance. That's a totally different beast, but techno I can't stand. This is half techno-ish, half trance, so there's parts of it I like and parts of it I don't, but it's interesting nonetheless. Have a listen to this. Bye Bye Beautiful by... remixed by DJ Orkidie. We'll be right back. Hayden just mentioned in Skype, she said the only thing that sucks about impromptu music shows is no one shows up. And that's true. What happens is I don't mention that we're going to be doing them because we do them off the cuff. I don't know when I can do them, whether they're going to be working or whether I'm going to be helping the captain out. So what happens is I just come out of nowhere and say, all right, we're doing a music show. So there's not a hell of a lot of people that turn up. In the future, what I'll do is I'll put it up on the website so that people can join in with the fun. I'm sure we'll probably get some before the night's out. We'll get some requests before the night's out. That's usually what happens. But in the future, I will put them on the website. She's absolutely right. You know, these impromptu type shows, it's sort of like, oh, fuck, no one knows about it. next is one for Shield Maiden, Candlebox. It's done by Candlebox and it's called You. Sean Ain't All There edition of A Music Night. This is You by Candlebox.
It's for you.
partying into the night here on TCTAUnleashed.com. I'm with Shield Maiden. We're taking requests. If you'd like to make a request, by all means, get on over to TCTAUnleashed.com. Click on chat room, come in, and by all means, make a request. Maiden and I have been doing all the heavy work tonight because we didn't let people know we were going to be doing a music night, so no one turns up. Go figure.
Yeah, I know. Funny how that works. Well, you decided at the last minute, and unfortunately, it's Sunday night here and, what, Monday morning there, so...
That's right.
You know, not a whole lot of people around at the moment, so... But that's cool. We'll just play a few more songs and see what happens.
Well, the beauty of it is people come and visit the website every day. I look at the numbers and I go, holy fuck. I'm like, really? And even WordPress comes up with this little message saying, your numbers are booming! And I go, I know. Seriously.
Oh, well, you know Shlomo's not going to be happy about that, Shawnee.
No, I know. Sooner or later, Shlomo will try and find a way to shut me down. But then what I'll do is I'll create my own. See, WordPress, a lot of people get it confused. The WordPress websites that people like myself are using are ones that are basically served by other people. WordPress is now a company. But if they happen to cut you off, if they happen to say, Sean, you know what, you're not abiding by our rules, you're not, you know, you're not following the politically correct realm, you need to just fuck off. And then I go, oh, well, shit, well, I'm going to have to fuck off. So I fuck off. And then what happens is, and the reason I'm talking this way, Maiden, is because I'm not all there. So anyway.
Yeah, no, did you see what I wrote in the chat room?
I haven't. Actually, let me have a quick look. Laugh out loud. The Sean Ain't There music edition. Yeah, it's so true. The Sean Ain't There plus 12 beers. 12 beers? Get out of here. Try 24. Jeez, give me a bit of credit.
Right? Yeah, I hope not. You wouldn't be able to speak if it was
not
that
a chance.
Much.
Not a chance. I tried it once and I almost killed myself. But anyway, what happens is, now you've totally screwed up my thought. What was I saying?
Oh, you're talking about if WordPress shuts you down, you're
That's
just
going right.
to start another one.
Thank you. Thank God someone's sober. What happens is, if they shut me down, I'll create my own WordPress server. I can do that. I've got no problems. You know, this is coming from a man that's created radio stations through scripting and coding in C++. So I've got no problem with doing that. If they try and shut me down, I will start my own server. Now, recently, we've had reports from people saying, oh, guess what? My security checker is saying that I can't download your show, and Maiden was one of them. So she can back me up here. Maiden, explain a little bit to the ladies and gentlemen of what happened there.
Yeah, I tried to download the show, and the antivirus program that I had wouldn't let me do it. It said that it had malicious content.
Now, she might not want to say who it is, but I can legally say it from Australia. It was Norton. So what I did is I contacted Norton, and I said, how dare you block my sound files saying that there's malicious content. Now, they're trying to play a game here, ladies and gentlemen. What they do is they say malicious content, meaning that it could do harm to your computer. However, they're basically trying to say that within what I speak about is malicious because I'm a self-confessed racist. But they're not legally allowed to do that, not even in America. You, over there in America, as you well know, being an American person that are listening right now, the First Amendment dictates free speech. So therefore, it doesn't matter what my content is when it comes to what I'm talking about, it's allowed to happen. But so they tried to use the idea that, oh, it's malicious as if it would hurt your computer. Well, number one, there's really only two files that can be infected by a virus that will harm your computer, and that's a .com program or a .exe. Now, a .com, I'm not talking about the internet.com, you know, TCTAUnleashed.com, I'm not talking about that. A .com is just a .com file, a file that is a program. It runs programming. So, for instance, if you get into what we call a terminal, and you type in such and such .com, it will start running a program, just like an .exe does. These are the two that can infect your computer. Now, some people say, but Sean, an MP3 can be infected as well. And I say, no, it cannot. If it's an actual MP3, if it's an MP3 file, it cannot be infected. All it is audio, compressed audio. However, keep in mind that if you have a person that creates a malicious EXE or .com file and then renames it to an MP3, it still won't be malicious because the player just won't play it. It'll say, hold on a second, I can't play this file because even though it's got the extension of .mp3, it's gobbledygook to me, all right? But if somebody renames it on your computer back to an EXE after it's been malicious, then it can infect your computer. In any case, an MP3 is not infectious to your computer. Don't buy the bullshit. What they did, as you know, well know, Maiden, that what they did is try to block my content, as they put it, because they find what I am saying is malicious rather than the file being malicious to a computer. The only rights Norton or anybody else has to block content, quote unquote, is if the content can infect the computer. But they have no right to block what the content is saying in a music file or a sound file. Make no mistake, they try to fuck people over on this, but some of us are a little more intelligent and understand what's going on. But I'm not that intelligent tonight because I ain't all there. Now, when it comes to...
And you had 12 beers. But that was strange, though, because that was actually the first time that that's ever happened to me with trying to download a show. So...
And then it was after your third try that it started working. It's only because I wrote to them and said, this will cease immediately, otherwise I will sue your ass. And I said, I will put it over 107.9 FM, 1650 AM, and a cluster of other fucking stations. And then all of a sudden, on her third try, ladies and gentlemen, she was able to download the show. Go figure.
Yep.
Now, talking about partying into the night, Maiden, you're going to love this one. It's one of my favorites. And you being a redneck, you're going to fucking love this.
Oh, you're going to play the Jeff Turley party all night.
You fucking know it.
I mean, you're starting out in your life. You don't have anything. You don't own anything. Which is why single people throw the best parties. They don't have to worry about their furniture getting messed up. Their friends can destroy everything they own. They're out $15. Single people do throw the best parties, too, don't you think? Single people throw parties where there's a good chance somebody's coming out of their clothes before the night's out. Most of the time, it's the woman that's dancing by herself way too early in the evening. It's only 7:15, Peggy's dancing by herself. That shirt's coming off tonight, I guarantee it.
Gonna party all night till the sun comes up. We won't stop dancing till we've had enough. Till the cows come home.
And you know, some single people don't consider it to be a good party unless the cops have been there at least a dozen times. Same scenario every time. 400 drunks trying to act like they're not drunk. One guy is the spokesman for the group.
Talking to the cops, shut up.
Party all night till the sun comes up. We won't stop dancing till we've had enough. There ain't no boss and there ain't no phone. Just loud country music on the radio. Gonna party all night, gonna live it up. Bubba's gonna puke in my pickup truck. If you got the blues, they'll hit the road. Party all night till the cows come home.
It's the cops, turn the stereo down. Put your shirt on, Peggy. Y'all be cool. Let me do the talking.
Welcome back, Officer Mitchell! Don't shoot!
I told him don't shoot.
I'm glad you're back. I want to report a crime. Larry puked in the aquarium.
Gonna party all night till the sun comes up. We won't stop dancing till we've had enough. There ain't no boss and there ain't no phone. Loud country music on.
Up next, a little bit of 60s. Oh yeah, I like going back in time once in a while. A little bit of the 60s.
Hey, Officer Mitchell, I thought you said you didn't want to come back out here again tonight. Hey, listen, if I lay down on the sidewalk, will you draw my picture with that little chalk y'all have?
For goodness sake!
Shakes back from the 60s. I love the 60s. I love the 50s and the 60s and everything like that. Here's one for Maiden. She's requested Oasis, Don't Look Back in Anger. Probably a good song for me at the moment.
But all the things that you've seen
in Anger. Oasis. Shield Maiden. Up next, one of my favourites, Do Wah Diddy.
There she was, just walking down the street singing. Tapping her fingers and shuffling her feet singing. She looked good. She looked fine. She looked good. She looked fine. And I nearly lost my mind. Before I knew it, she was walking next to me singing. In my hand, just as natural as can be, a singing. We walked on to my door. We walked on to my door. Then we kissed a little more. Oh, I knew we was falling in love. Yes, I did, and so I told her all the things I'd been dreaming of. Now we're together nearly every single day singing. Do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-dum. We're so happy and that's how we're gonna stay singing. Do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-dum. Well, I'm hers.
I'm hers.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hers.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Whoa, I knew we was falling in love. Now we're together nearly every single day singing.
Do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-dum.
Oh, we're so happy and that's how we're gonna stay singing.
Do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-dum.
Well, I'm hers.
I'm hers.
She's mine.
She's mine.
I'm hers.
She's mine.
Wedding bells are gonna chime. Whoa, oh, 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 oh yeah.
Do-wah-diddy-diddy-dum-diddy-dum.
Yep. Do a diddy dum diddy do. Don't you love that song, Mage? Come on now. You know you love it.
I do. It's one of my favorites.
There you
go. Who doesn't like that one?
I know. Like, who can't? Like, I look at some of the millennials these days and they hear and they go, like, what the hell are you listening to? My son and my daughter in the past, I go, like, really, Dad? I'm like, yeah, really. Like, don't you like it? No.
Well, know, right.
Yeah.
And it makes me feel so old now because when I hear the new music, I'm like, God, what is this crap? You know, turn this off.
Well, you know what? It's because it's shit. It's absolutely shit.
Well, exactly. Like, I just heard the new theme song for the new Charlie's Angels movie, and it's got Ariana Grande, Miley Cyrus, and Lana Del Rey, and I thought, this is one of the most shit things I have ever heard. Like, I had to turn it off after 10 seconds. It was just that terrible.
Yeah, no, here's the thing, and a lot of people say to me, why do you think today's today's new music is shit, Sean? I say, all right.
Because it is.
It will, yeah, not only does it sound shit to me, but not just that, if you take a look at the talent that went into classical music back in the days of Mozart, Beethoven, Chopin, you know, Papa Bach, and all of those, you go, holy crap. You look at the notation, the complex notation that came out of these brilliant minds, these brilliant white minds, compared to... Right? And you're going, what the fuck? Really? We've degenerated and degraded to this point? And apparently,
yeah, well, even the like singers from the 40s and 50s and 60s back then, you had to actually be able to sing because they didn't have all of these, you know, tricks and stuff they could do in the recording studio. Like now they can actually make Britney Spears sound decent. And if you've ever heard her real singing, it literally sounds like someone threw a cat in a dryer. I mean, it is that awful.
But
they can
dryer.
Take anyone and make them sound like a halfway decent singer. So it doesn't require any talent. They just, you know, put them in some skimpy, slutty outfit, put them on stage and lip sync to some crappy song, you know, some crappy pop song.
You know, I've never heard that term. It sounds like throwing a cat in a dryer. I've never heard it. But you know what? The first person that came to mind when you said that is Christina Aguilera. When she was doing those fucking Christmas songs, I'm walking through that goddamn... See, Coles over here, ladies and gentlemen, is not Coles over there. Your Coles is more like a clothing store. Our Coles is a supermarket where you can buy your produce. You can get your
it's
groceries.
It's a grocery store, basically.
It's a grocery store, right. So what happens is I'm walking through Coles during Christmas and all I can hear is Coles Radio, they call it. Like, this is Coles Radio. And I'm thinking, don't be proud of that dude because all I can hear is like fucking... and I'm thinking, this is the worst fucking music I've ever heard. And the only people that like it are the millennials and they're sort of dancing down the fucking aisles. And I'm thinking, get fucking fucked. Like, put some AC/DC on.
I think Christina actually would have a decent voice if she would refrain from doing that screeching part. Like, if she would stop trying to scream the lyrics, you know, because her voice, her singing isn't that bad except when she does that crap.
She's a Mariah Carey lover. Mariah Carey is the one
yes.
who started that
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, exactly.
Mariah Carey was the one who started going... like, and you're going, what the fuck? Where does this end? Where did it start and where does it end? Right? And then all of a sudden, Christina Aguilera follows, and then you had, what was the daughter of, what's his face? Miley Cyrus. Then the daughter of whatever his name was.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Right? She's yeah. doing it, and then she's naked on the fucking stage.
She literally looks like a walking STD. She just grosses me out to look at her.
She really is a walking STD. I wouldn't fuck that vagina with a koala's dick. Seriously, that's gross. She's just a piece of porridge, if you know what I'm saying. It's disgusting.
No, she just looks so nasty, especially in the new Charlie's Angels video. Like, she, for one thing, she's way too skinny. She's covered in tattoos, and she just looks gross. Like, she just looks... like she's got nasty diseases up in there.
Oh, guess what? And another one that done that thing is Ozzy Osbourne's daughter. What was her name again? Kelly Osbourne. Even Kelly Osbourne started singing.
She can't sing for shit. She tried to have an album and everyone canned
it. Fucked.
But she can't even do that singing.
Nah, it was fucked. It was absolutely fucked. I did have a listen to a couple of her songs. I just went, Kelly, darling, no. Just no. Don't do it.
Yeah, Daddy should have told her no on that one. Like, look, this is total shit. Everyone's going to drag you through the mud for nepotism, because that's the only thing that got her that record deal, let's be honest.
That's exactly what it was. It was just that her dad was a musician, rah, rah, rah. She was just basically flowing over his coattails. One of the things that made me laugh is that when she was dressing up as a punk, she had the, like, mohawk going on, the pink mohawk, the whole lot. And she really fucked up in front of Whoopi Goldberg. She was on that stupid feminist bitch show, and she said she started...
Oh, that's right. She was on The View. What was it she said?
Yeah, she said something along the lines of, because I don't have it in front of me, something along the lines of that... No, I forget. Hold on a second.
Oh, no, I know what it was. I think I remember they were talking about immigrants, and Kelly was basically like, well, who's going to clean our toilets
clean the
if
toilets?
We don't have illegal Mexicans?
Yeah, like, yeah, who's going to clean the toilets if we don't invite illegal Mexicans?
Which what they really think about them.
Exactly, yeah. Who's going to clean the toilets if we don't invite and then, of course, they took it a task. Hang on. Kelly Osbourne toilets. Hold on. I've got to play this now. I've got to. Let's see. Yeah, all of those women were like, ooh, what did you just say? And of course, she would bow down to the feminists because she wants to keep her fame. Let's see here.
But it's funny to me, though, when they accidentally let the truth slip out.
Yeah, I know. And then you know what they did? You know what they did?
Those rich ass celebrities.
You know what they did soon after? They got her on to talk about how being sober changed her life, because they had to see her fame all of a sudden went and exploded because she said such a thing. So then all of a sudden they say, oh, look, she's gotten sober and now she doesn't believe those things anymore. But have a look at the fat slob. She's a fucking disgusting pig now. She really is. She's like, I wouldn't go near that with a 10-foot barge pole. Hold on a second. Illegal immigrants, let's see. This is great. Wait for it. Here we go. Here it is here. This is from The View. This is Kelly Osbourne with a stupid feminist pink fucking mohawk. Yeah.
Kelly Osbourne was invited to The View, and boy, did she cause a stir. She and the other hosts were discussing Donald Trump's recent derogatory remarks on immigration. See, co-host Rosie Perez said Trump's comments were not helping the current immigration situation in the U.S. Take a look.
Latinos here in this country that do agree that the immigration problem is a problem and it does need to be addressed and it does need to be fixed.
From there, Kelly Osbourne chimed in with a quote that went viral. Take another look.
Making those comments, those racist comments, do not help.
And if you kick every Latino out of this country, then who is going to be cleaning your toilet, Donald Trump?
Oh, that's not.
In the sense that, no. You know what I mean? Like, what I'm saying,
there's more jobs to be
in LA. They always
for. But they Latinos don't. Are not only the
no,
only people.
No, I didn't mean it like that.
That.
Come on. No, I would never mean it like
oh,
that.
Oh, of course you wouldn't.
I'm not
Of course you wouldn't, Kelly. You wouldn't mean it like that, because meaning it like that would be indicative of what all white people are thinking right now. You know, seriously, for those of us that are intelligent enough to create radio stations, run radio stations, TV, you know, I don't talk about the behind-the-scenes stuff very often, mates. I'm going to talk about it just for a quick sec now. It's that when you have to run things like the DAD systems, Jimmy X has had experience running the DAD systems. That's part of his life. The DAD is the digital audio delivery systems that delivers whatever audio to a central server. That's what the digital audio delivery system is. And if you understand how technical it be, for people like Jimmy and I, it's second nature. It's just a part of our lives. But if you took the common person off the street to take a look at this stuff and how it works and the machines that run the DAD system, like, we're talking about machines that are as big as my studio. They're huge. And they look at it literally and go, what the fuck? How the fuck do you know how this works? And we say, well, because we learn, we teach ourselves, we understand. And if we don't, then we are going to fail. So we learn. But I had the captain in the studio the other day for the first time. He's never been to the studio while I do it live. He listens to the broadcast. But when he actually sat in here live, he was fascinated with all the buttons I have to push and the pots I have to bring down and how I have to volume up and all of this. And he's looking and he's just like, wow, what the fuck? This is how much work goes into doing a broadcast. And I say, well, it's a little bit harder for me because I'm a one-man band. But it's a little easier if you're actually in a mainstream studio because you've got the best technology in the world. But even running that best technology can be difficult sometimes. There was an error that went wrong with the DAD system one night, and I won't say where because, you know, Jimmy likes to stay anonymous when it comes to where he works, and rightfully so. But there was an error that went wrong, and he said, hey, Sean, we've got an error. Let's go out and have a look what's going on. So we went out there, and we had a look. And I was just literally flabbergasted when I walked in. I said, this is the DAD? And he says, yeah. I was like, this is like something out of Terminator, dude. Holy shit. I love this. I live for it. And by God, I learnt it. I walked into to the studio he was working at the time, and I'm thinking, I said, this is how we work this and this and this and this. And then they got me to do some voiceovers. You know, when I'm not riding kangaroos in Australia, I'm listening to blip, 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 blip. .com, right?
But, yeah. See, this is why I want you and Jimmy near me if, like, the shit hits the fan. Like, if there's a power grid that goes down, I want you guys near me because y'all can, like, recreate technology.
We
can communicate again.
We can, and I'm not using this as a bragging point. Well, maybe a little bit. But no, we really can. Like, White Western civilization has created everything of worth. There's a reason that you take a look at Sudan Darfur, as I've spoken about countless times, as you know, maids, that they have not even recreated the wheel. They've not reinvented the wheel. And not just that, you know, when they're, it's the white Christian groups that have to go over there to create their water wells because they just don't know how to do it, even sometimes when we've taught them. They just can't retain that information because their brains don't function that way. So if the grid did somehow go down, let's just use a comedic viewpoint on this. All of a sudden, zombies start taking over the world, right? And I mean dead people rising from the dead, and they're like, brains, brains, right?
Okay, I was thinking more of a solar flare, but whatever, we can go with zombies.
Hey, we're being comedic here. Solar flares aren't comedic. Zombies are.
Okay.
So you've got these brains, I'm going to eat your brains, right? And then you go, all right, well, we're going to have to stay indoors. Because these things are going to eat our brains. They're going to like, and they're going to mung out on your head. Now, here's the thing though. We all of a sudden our electricity goes out. We go, oh fuck, what are we going to do now? We don't have electricity. God damn it, I can't use my goddamn cell phone. Who are you going to call? Ghostbusters? No.
Ghostbusters, so, yeah.
Who are you going to call? Like, you're not going to call a zombie, are you? Like, your whole family's dead, your whole fucking friends are dead, they're all gone, Sean. There's no one you can call anyway. Okay, I won't use the cell phone, but I still want to be able to have light my house up at night. Well, okay, all right, you want to use your computer. Right, yeah, I do. Right, I've got to occupy myself somehow. So, what do we do? People like Jimmy X and I go, we scratch our heads, among other things, being blokes, and we go, all right, I'm going to, yeah, I can hear you laughing in the background there, mates. So can the audience. So what happens is, we go, all right, Jimmy looks at me, right in the eye, says, Sean, yes, we need to get down to the electricity plant and make perfectly sure that everybody gets their electricity for free. I'm like, yes. And then he says, okay, let's go. So we sneak past all the zombies. I don't know how, but we did somehow. Okay. This is my story. Shut the fuck up. So what happens is we sneak into the electricity company and we light up everyone again. We say, oh, all right, let's just flip these switches, however that works, but we'll work it out. You're absolutely right. White Western civilization works shit out. It always has. It's always created a way for people to get by. We've created planes, trains, and automobiles, and yet those that are being murdered by the Janjaweed in Sudan Darfur cannot and will never be able to reinvent the wheel for a very good reason. They will never be able to build their water wells without white Western civilization. And then they call us maggots. Like, fuck them. You know, I say leave them to their own. If there is such thing as evolution, mates, they... Oh, that was definitely me.
That was on air too.
Yeah, it really was. It really was. You know, music nights are not great because I burp. But the thing is, that they really need, if there's such thing as evolution, they need to evolve at their own level. And at the moment, we cannot help them. We got to help ourselves.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we were talking about this the other day. I think that they're much happier, the tribes in Africa, because they're living the way that they're supposed to live. When we go over there and try to, quote, help them, we just make everything worse, because what happens is their population explodes, but then they don't know how to take care of them. And so if they were living simply in the Stone Age the way that they were supposed to, you know, there wouldn't be, like, what is it, 1 billion plus people over there, and most of them are starving?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the same as the Aboriginals. You know, they did better when they were actually out there surviving on barley grubs and lizards than what they do here. They cannot assimilate with us, and the proof is in the pudding. And this is why I was hitchhiking home from a place called Albury one night. I went to see a movie, and I thought, oh, I got to see it. It was Stephen King's Sleepwalkers. I read the book, so I wanted to see the movie. The movie wasn't not even a bee's dick close to how good the book was. But it was still enjoyable to see, nonetheless. And I was hitchhiking home one night. I started hitchhiking at 11 p.m. And these two elderly people pick me up. And so I jump in the back seat, and they say, oh, we're from the Red Cross, and we do this, and we do that. And I'm thinking, okay. I said, so you're from Sydney? And they said, yeah. I said, what are you doing down this way? And they said, oh, well, we've got to deliver some stuff to the Red Cross in your neck of the woods. And I said, okay, because I was hitchhiking from Albury to a place called Corowa. Now, what happens is this lady said, I start talking about the Abbos, me being me, about how, you know, no, I've not had any luck with them whatsoever, and I wish to live around them for much longer. I'm really done with it. That, as far as I'm concerned, I'm very sorry. If you have to drop me off and kick me out of your car for what I'm about to say, then do it. And I said, they're shit on feet. And this lady said, Sean, if you never mention to anybody what I'm about to say, I can agree with you. And I went, I will never mention it. I won't use your names, if that's what you mean. She said, that's right. I just don't want you mentioning my name or my husband's name here. And I said, no, that's fine. She goes, you can tell the story, but just don't mention our names. I said, all right. So what happens is she said straight out, she said, they really are crap on feet. She said, now the Red Cross over here, mate, I don't know if you have the same thing, but the Red Cross over here is like a charity
group.
Yeah,
we do.
Oh, good. There
we
go.
Yeah, we've got the same thing here, yeah. Oh, and by the way, Jacko just popped in.
Oh, okay. Good stuff. So what happens is we have the Red Cross that was saying to me that night when I was hitchhiking home, they really are crap on feet. She goes, we have to deal with Aboriginal families, but what's worse is we have to deal with white families that have bought a middle-class house. So let's say the middle-class house is around $300,000. They buy this house thinking, oh, this is going to be a beautiful place, but then all of a sudden the government comes along and says, this street just ain't diverse enough. We're going to have to build community housing, which is equivalent to your Section 8. And then they build Section 8 housing in there, and the prices start to plummet for the house that they just bought, the white people just bought. And the reason being is because once Abbos move in, oh, shit hits the fan. Everything becomes worthless. Let's look at that word, worthless. It's become worthless because the Abbos fuck up the entire street and no one wants to move in there anymore. Now, these whites want to move out, but they can no longer sell the house for the money that they paid. They can only sell it for about 50 grand. Maybe that's an exaggeration. Maybe 80 grand because the street has become worthless. It's just unfucking real. For even the Red Cross to be saying to me, Sean, you're absolutely right. We don't want to say it because we can lose our jobs and be ridiculed and rah, 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 but we're glad you're saying it, you know. And I just said, look, I can't believe you coming from the Red Cross. You know, I'm just so glad you were honest with me tonight. They weren't meant to be going to Corowa itself. They were going to be going to a place called, Mawala. They were going to Mawala. And they said, Sean, look, we're going to just take you, because we're going to Mawala anyway, we're going to take you straight to your home. We've had such a good talk. They were great people. Seriously, it's funny because everybody calls you racist for saying these things, but they're all thinking it. They just can't.
Well, that's what drives me crazy. It's like a lot of people are thinking this stuff, but the second you say it, it's like, oh, you're an evil racist and you want to kill everybody and all this nonsense. And it's just pointing out facts. I mean, you look at every single neighborhood that gets flooded with blacks and it goes to crap every single time.
Every time, without fail. You take a look at what happened to Detroit. Not just one of the most beautiful cities in America, but one of the most beautiful cities in the world it was once. I remember as a wee boy looking at photos and reading about Detroit, and all I could think as a wee boy was thinking, one day I'm going to go there. I'm going to experience everything about Detroit. I love this place. And then by the time I was 25, I looked at it and I just went, what the fuck happened? It's because they handed this shit over to black management more and more as time went on, and all of a sudden, like, what was it, 2 years ago that they couldn't even pay their electricity bill, that the lights went out for the city?
Yeah, it was something like that. They've also been having a lot of problems with the water supply in Flint, Michigan, I think, and that's because of black management.
It's unreal. I just, And it's right in people's faces, but they just don't want to be racist. They're just sort of like, oh, well, I know exactly what you're saying, Sean, but I don't want to be called racist because I can lose my job. I can be ridiculed. Well, okay. So in other words, because you've got a job, you don't want to tell the truth. So what sort of a message does that send to our kids? We're telling our kids as they grow up, you don't lie to me, young lady. You don't lie to me, young man. But yet we're lying our fucking asses off when we say, well, we just don't want to tell the truth because being called racist or anti-Semitic can get me fired.
Yeah, I know. But yet, have you ever heard of a young white couple saying to their real estate agent, hey, we want to live in the ghetto? No, every single time when they're looking for a house, they always say, you know, is this in a good neighborhood?
Exactly.
Does it have a good school? Now, you and I both know what they actually mean by that.
Exactly. You know, all of my friends have done it, even though they don't want to be called racist. And I myself have done it, although I'm a confessed racist. Here's the thing, though. I do. I walk in, I go, hold on a second. I want to know about the neighbors. Are they black? So you get this real estate lady that looks at you right in the eye and she blink, blink, blink. What do you mean? Are they black? I'm just asking a question. And you get occasional where they sort of look around. They look over their left shoulder. They look over their right. And they go, there's no blacks there. You're going to be fine. And I'm like, oh, good. Cool. No worries. But then you'll get some that'll be like, oh, I don't understand your question. I say, oh, don't you? No. Do you speak English? And then I walk the fuck out as if to say, fuck you then. If you can't answer a simple fucking English question, go fuck yourself. Done. Finished. Kapit.
I know. I love how the ones feel like they have to talk in hushed tones. Like, that's where we're at now. You know, like, they got to look over their shoulder and be like, no, there's none here. Yeah. You know, it's like, how ridiculous is this?
Exactly. Yeah. Sean, don't worry. There's no blacks there. And I look at them and go, why are you whispering? There's no one else but us here.
I know. Well, that goes to show you how powerful the brainwashing is, man. That's, you know, 50 plus years of propaganda. And really, at this point, the only way you're going to get away from that is if you live literally out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. Pretty much. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to play another song here. We've got one from Maiden, and we'll get to that one in just a moment. But at the moment, I'm going to play a song by Enya, one of my favorite musical artists in the world. She's got such a beautiful voice, and she knows how to do a layering and everything like that. It's just fantastic. This one's called I Want Tomorrow.
See you.
Two's Company, Three's Allowed, TCTAUnleashed.com. Talking with Shield Maiden at the moment, and we're playing some music for the good ladies and gentlemen out there. Your requests are welcome. If you happen to be listening to the broadcast at the present time, you can get on over to TCTAUnleashed.com and click on chat room and get on in there and make some requests. Otherwise, you can even call in 512-487-7226, which is local to Austin, Texas. 512-487-7226. If you have unlimited long distance in the States, you will be able to call in and make a request. By all means, do so. That song was by Enya called I Want Tomorrow. Just had some comments coming in from the latest article I wrote. I wrote an article about how I was being accused of not being all there in the head. And this is why it's the Sean's Not All There edition of a music show. But I've actually had report back from the principal of the school that my children are in, and she has clarified without doubt that she did not come across that way at all. She was talking about mental health due to the mother of my children talking about my mental health, as if she knows such a thing. But anyway, she was basically talking about mental health, and she did not want to come across that way as if I am not all there at all. So there you go. Some mothers are fucking liars, aren't they? All right, what are we playing next? We're going to get to Shield Maiden's song here. Don't Look Back, She and Him. Hey, Maiden.
Yep.
What's the group called? Is the group called Don't Look Back?
No, the group is called She and Him. The song is called Don't Look
Back. Oh, there we go. Yeah, that was a bit confusing. Okay, so the group is called She and Him, and the song is called Don't Look Back. This one is one that Maiden requested. Get your request in the chat room if you happen to be listening. What the fuck is this?
The heart of Persephone, but I never had yours.
Persephone.
Followed you back to the end of the path, but I never found the door. And you can work to save your love. You can bear it from the earth below. You can work, but you can't let go. But you have to.
Oh, There we go. That one was for Maiden. I'm going to play this one next. I've got to sneak out of the room for a quick sec. But I'm going to play this one next while I sneak out of the room. Where the hell did that go? Sean? Sean, what are you doing? Let me see. No, A Brief History in Time by Stephen Hawking is not for a music night.
Shawnee, are you messing stuff up over there? Get it together.
I really am. Stephen Hawking's A Brief History in Time always fascinates me, and I went past it, and I was like, uh-oh, now I've lost my bloody, the song I was going to play. Where is it, Maiden?
I don't know. What were you going to play?
I don't know. I forget. Let me have a look here. Yep, I've lost it. Oh, God damn it. Maiden's fault.
And I didn't have anything else lined up either. Should I work fast?
No. I've got plenty of music here. It's just the one I wanted to play was like really fetching to my eye. Where the hell did you go? Oh, yeah, here we go. One of my favourites, and everyone's going to go, oh, come on, Sean. Everyone plays this in the pubs and everything like that. Well, bad luck. I fucking love this. Sweet Child of Mine. child of mine. The good old Gunners. I grew up with the Gunners. It's probably a part of my Albert Camus rebellion. What do you reckon, mate?
Yeah, I think so.
You had
Sorry, I had to unmute my mic.
There we go. Yeah. I think that's part of my Albert Camus rebellion. You know, when they were You Could Be Mine and all of that, those songs, and oh, shit, I loved it. Use Your Illusion 1 and Use Your Illusion 2, Appetite for Destruction, loved it. I'd be riding around on my bicycle, my BMX at the time, and by God, I had that shit pumped through my Walkman back when we were using tapes. God damn it. You were saying about how you feel old earlier. It's only because you are old. But no, I'm joking. I'm joking.
I'm going to reach across and punch you.
No, seriously, though, I used to get on my BMX and I'd have my headphones on, those old puffy headphones. Like these days, they're just little things in the ear. But now, back then, they were big, bulky headphones. And I was riding along on my BMX with You Could Be Mine. Oh, you know, Axl Rose was through my head 24/7 near on. Especially being an insomniac, you know, you don't sleep. So, you know, he kept me company for a long time. Oh, I fucking loved Guns N' Roses.
That's cool. Yeah, I know you were really huge into them. They have a few songs I really like, but I wasn't, like, super. I was never that gung-ho.
Oh, that's because you're lame. But don't worry, you'll get over it sometime.
Shut up, John. You suck. I'm going to hang up on you.
I suck in a good way, though. Yeah, that was funny. Actually, oh, I've got a song in front of me. I was just about to play Days of Thunder. Oh, wait. Jacko said that he wants this song from The Zombies, and it was meant to be called... This doesn't make any sense at all.
That's because you've had 12 beers.
No, I haven't actually had 12 beers yet. I'm getting there. Where is it? He wrote...
I think it's called She's Not There by
She's
the Zombies.
Not There by Essex. But the thing is, there's nothing there when it comes to... Yeah. Hey, Jacko, of course Guns N' Roses are Albert Camus Rebellion. 100 million other people. There's not 100 other... I think Jacko's drunk. There's not 100 million people in this fucking country, let alone those, unless you're talking around the planet, that are Albert Camus Rebellion.
I think he's talking about the number of people who bought their albums.
No, here's the... Oh, is that what he's talking about? Guns N' Roses are Camus... No. He's saying Guns N' Roses are Camus Rebellion? Question mark. You and 100 million other people. I don't think so. I really don't. I don't even think there's 100 million people on this planet that are rebelling at the present time. I think they're all politically correct fucktards. Sorry.
Now, well, it's okay, Shawnee, because the pole shift is going to sort them out. Don't worry about it. Pole shift, solar flare, something will happen.
As Duke Nukem used to say, bam, he'd shoot them in the head and said, let God sort them out, you know.
Okay, so
Jacko's writing, they were very popular, so it wasn't much of a rebellion. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is Axl Rose was very rebellious, and so were the lads that were working with him, like Duff McKagan. They were all very rebellious against the system. So, and being rebellious against the system doesn't necessarily make you unpopular. For instance, like, I've been weighing up where my audience is coming from recently, and I've found that I've got about 3,000 or more of an audience, which ain't too shabby for a person that is just a lone wolf. So, you're not necessarily unpopular, whether you rebel or not. It's seriously, Axl Rose was a very, very rebellious... He hated the system. He rebelled against it. He got himself into quite a bit of trouble, in fact. One of the laws was made that the singer cannot dive into the audience and start smashing people in the face. But he did that, and I tilt my hat to him for that.
Yeah, well, the problem with Axl is that he couldn't handle his alcohol. Whenever he'd get drinking too much, he would beat people up.
He would. Not just that. Yeah, he just had aggression problems. And look, rightfully so in some ways. Take a look at the way he was brought up. He was brought up in a really shitty situation. His mother was a turd. His father was a fuckwit. I mean, he had it rough, and then people just expect him to be some upstanding person in society. And you go, really? How do you expect that? When, you know, like, I hate to use this as an example, but take a look at me. My mother left me at 14, when I was 14 years of age. Okay, I'm not a violent person in that I will just start a fight, but when someone starts one with me, I will fucking break them in half if I can. And this comes, a lot of this aggression comes from, you know, my mother left me at 14. I had to bring myself up for a while. Then my adoptive mum brought me up. You know, it's sort of like it might be nigger excuses. Here's the thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, Epic's writing, it sounds like nigger excuses. Here's the thing, though. Axel was far from a nigger.
No, I know. He's just joking, though. I mean, I know he's joking.
I know he's joking, but there's an element to this that is true. It's actually true. He's right in what he says. It sounds like nigger excuses. What happens is, Axel was far from a nigger, but he had a fucking idiot set of parents. He didn't have a great education and all of that. And then he bought himself up. You know what? Even today, if you take a look at him, he ain't acting like a nigger. I don't act like a nigger. If someone tries to throw a punch at me, yeah, I'll do the fucking same. Now, remember, he made one law for his concerts, which was this: do not bring cameras into the concert because we need to be able to sell our magazines and our posters. That's not nigger shit right there. What that is saying we need to make money, and we're going to try and make money anywhere we can. So when we come into the crowd, we don't expect cameras to be there, and we expect you to buy our posters. So, look, don't take a photo of us. Buy our poster instead. That's a very white virtue, right? And that's what happened.
Well,
what happened
frankly,
is,
I'd probably much rather have a nice big poster than take a picture. I mean, what are you going to do with it, you know?
Well, you know what? And they were warned. So this bloke, quite often these blokes would start taking photos of him, and he said, hey, grab that camera from that dude. He's been warned he's not to come in here with a camera. And a lot of people didn't know about this. They just thought that he was acting like a nigger. And he wasn't. What he was trying to say is, we're trying to make money here. The fuck out of here with that camera. We've told you at the door, you cannot bring a camera in because we want to sell our posters. Instead of taking a photo, buy a poster for $5. So then he dives into the audience. He smashes this bloke in the mouth because security wouldn't deal with the camera. He said, security, grab that guy. Countless times on his stage, he said, security, grab that guy, take the camera
That's
out of
right.
his...
That's right, I vaguely remember this story. That was a while ago. That was back in the 90s, wasn't it?
Oh, shit, yeah. This is back when Guns N' Roses was still the original Guns N' Roses, with Duff McKagan, what's his name, Slash, all of the originals.
Okay, so this was ages before cell phones, because now they don't even try to block it because they know that they can't. Everyone's going to whip out their cell phone and record it.
Yeah,
so they just
way
deal
before.
With it.
Yeah, way before cell phones. Yeah, no, this guy had an SLR camera taking photos of him, and it was clearly warned, do not bring it. So he said straight up to the security, grab that guy's camera, and he was going to return it to him later. As we've seen in an interview with him, he's disgusted. He said, we would have returned to him later, but security did nothing. He said, and of course, yeah, alcohol plays a part in it. There's no doubt about it. He jumped into the crowd and he just started smashing this guy in the face. And that's my kind of aggression. Doesn't make me a nigger. What I look at is this. You need this kind of aggression as a white man in this day and age. If you're going to guard your family and someone's going to come across aggressively in any way, I hope to have the alcohol in my blood system at that time, because by God, I will let loose. As you've heard just recently on the recent show, I had a bloke turn up in my driveway And this was a bloke that said, my daughter needs to be intercoursed. So I walked out there and I went, get the fuck off my property. Now, I couldn't hit him because I was doing a show. And if I hit him, the police are going to come and everything like that. And then the show's going to even be more screwed. So I just walked out there. And he's much bigger than me. And he's got the ZZ Top beard happening. I just walked up and I said, get the fuck off my property. You say that about my little girl? Get the fuck out of here. He said, I didn't talk about your daughter. And I said, yes, you fucking did. Get the fuck out of here. I'm going to fuck you up. The fuck out of here. There's nothing nigger about it. What this is a dad defending his daughter. What Axel was doing was defending his livelihood. He makes money from his posters. He makes money from his music. You know, but on the same token, he didn't have a great upbringing. On the same token, I didn't have a great upbringing either, but I don't go out of my way for trouble. Axel doesn't go out of his way for trouble. He does a concert. Someone puts something in his face, he's going to react. He's aggressive. Doesn't make him a nigger. Just saying.
Well, and like you said, see, that's why they've been trying so hard to emasculate young white males and make them effeminate. And I'm telling you, that's another reason that they push the vegan diet so hard. And there's actually a channel called Vegan Deterioration, and she showed this soy boy, this guy who, when he first went vegan, sounded normal, but after a few years on a vegan diet, his voice was clearly higher, and she hadn't done anything to change the pitch or anything like that. And so they're doing everything they can, not just through diet, but through BPA in the plastic bottles, anything they can to create more estrogen in the male so that they're not going to have that instinct to be tough and aggressive and protect themselves and their family.
Look, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, I'm not vegan, but I'm an aquatarian. I live off fish and vegetables and salads. I don't see anything that stopped my aggression. I'm pretty aggressive. I'm not going to lie. Like, for instance, I mean, anyone who's listened to my show knows what I'm capable of. One of the things actually that Jacko said earlier in the year was that, him and I were talking behind the scenes and I hope he doesn't, hate me for saying this, but one of the things he said is that people your age and my age, Sean, we're pretty much past our fighting years. You're like 44 and I'm this age. I disagree. I'll tell you why. I still get in the ring. Whenever I can get into the ring and fight somebody, I will. When somebody's down the street and they try to pick me, I'm going to be the first one to say, yeah, all right, go on. Throw a fucking punch. I double dare you, motherfucker. Throw a punch. Give me the right to self-defense. Give me that right to self-defense so that I can fucking knock you the cunt out. And by God, I will. I'm not to be trifled with. I'm not past my fighting stages. I have still got aggression. And that's not because of my so-called nigger upbringing. This is because I am a man. When somebody, like for instance, we recently heard about that girl that was threatened down in this one of the local stores. And I walked straight up to this dude and I said, yeah, go near her again, motherfucker. I dare ya. I double dare ya. Because she's a friend of mine. I said, go on, fucking go near her again and see what fucking happens. You know, this piece of shit wouldn't even come near me. He kept his distance because he knew that I'm going to jab him in the mouth. You know what? Maybe there has to be a little part of us that is a little bit of nigger. The niggers, by God, they stick up for their fucking own. It's only when us whites don't stand up for our own. It's like, yeah, fuck me.
Well, see, that's another thing too with the propaganda. It's like they, lift the black guy up because he's like tough and aggressive. You know, they're not going to say anything about that.
Well, he
is. But they want the white guys to be, you know, wussy and wimpy and effeminate because they know that girls are not actually attracted to that. So naturally, they're going to gravitate to the black dudes because, oh, he's a tough badass, you know.
It's true too. You know, all of the girls that come across to me, whether it be via email or on the street, that, oh, Sean, you know, I heard you're single, rah, 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 is because I don't back down.
Oh, here, Sean's about to brag about all his groupies again.
No, I'm not. I am not bragging. Look, if I was going to brag, I would brag about how I accepted them, and I've not accepted one of them. You know, there's very few girls that I would like to go out with in this world. You're one of them, Maiden, as you know. Like, there's very few. Of course, you and I are worlds apart, which makes it fucking impossible. But there's others that I'm interested in.
Yeah, because you're on the other side of the planet. So.
Yeah. It doesn't work. Here's the thing, though. We've become emasculated. And, well, certain people like myself, Jacko, JB, even John Percent, we've still got testicles. We still stand there and say, you know what? But let me get back to the nigger thing. Because, you know what? Even though it's a joke on Jacko's behalf, he was joking. There's a serious element to this that we need to discuss. The niggers do defend their own. They'll pop a cap in your ass. You know, they've got a pair of balls that will come out there and say, I'll beat the motherfucking shit out of you, motherfucker. And then we sit there and say, oh, they're fucking terrible because they're violent and everything like that. And there is an element to that as well. But at least they come out and defend their own. What are whites doing at the moment? Whites aren't doing that. So then automatically when somebody like me comes out or somebody like Axl Rose comes out after having a bad upbringing and we're men because of that bad upbringing, all of a sudden it's, oh, that sounds like a nigger excuse. So whilst it is a joke, there's also a serious element to this. Yes, I probably come across as a nigger sometime, a white nigger, because I had a bad fucking upbringing, and if someone wants to step on my toes, my son's toes or my daughter's toes, I'm gonna wax fucking nigger on your ass. I'm gonna kick your fucking face in. Plain and simply, that's what this is about for me. We've got to become men again. These, like you said, Maiden, these niggers are acting like men. We are not. We're acting like little pussy bitches.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, look at how boys are being raised, especially if they've got a single mother. Like, in fact, I saw this clip on YouTube a couple of years ago. I can't remember what show. It was some local radio show. But this woman was so retarded. Like, she was one of these women who thought, well, I just don't think you should ever fight. You know, you should never fight anyone. Even if someone hits you, you know, it's just wrong to do that. And I thought, so what you're saying is you're telling your son to just stand there and let him get his ass
and
kicked,
get
basically.
Hit. Yep. And get hit.
You know, and this is what boys are learning.
You know, one of the proudest moments I had in my life, actually, we'll get to some more music soon, ladies and gentlemen. And during these music nights, we like to talk in between, so get used to it.
Yeah, we wax philosophical in between songs. So.
We really do, yeah. Here's the thing. Yeah, as Jacko just said in the chat room, just curl up and die. You know, there's literally that element to life as well. One of the proudest moments I had, mates, was that when I found out, when my son was still in primary school, he was in year five, I think. It was either year five or year six. He saw this kid being bullied every day. So he walked over and he said to this young bloke that kept bullying him, touch him again, I'm going to kick your ass. And this young bloke walked up and smacked him in the face. And Paddy just stood there, real stern, and said, go on, do it again. Now, he didn't need to hit him yet. See, one thing I do agree with when it comes to Sylvester Stallone, in the movie, one of his last Rocky films, he said, it's not about how you can get hit, it's about how you can get hit and then get back up over and over again after being hit, or something to that notion. So mm-hmm. Paddy took the punch on the jaw, and he said, go on, do it again. I dare you. And the young bloke then looked at him and thought, holy shit, he's not going down. Right?
Nice, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah. And then he walked away and said, touch him again and you're going to deal with me. And this bully never touched this kid again. It's not about how hard you can hit, as he was saying as Rocky. Sylvester Stallone was saying as Rocky. It's about how much you can get hit and how much you can get back up. That's what it's about. That's what you learn in the ring. You know, I've been going on so many years now in boxing, it's not funny. I was trained under middleweight Mark. And seriously, when I'm in the ring, it's not about how hard I can hit, right? It's about how hard I can get hit and then get back to my feet. That's what it's about. And I've instilled this.
Yeah, I agree. And I think in the coming decades, we're probably going to see a big separation between, you know, the tough people and the dregs of society. You know, because it's not going to be able to keep going on like it is.
It just can't. And you know what? The dregs are showing their face left, right, and center. You know, when I was talking to that douchebag that threatened that friend of mine, that female friend of mine, he didn't know what to do with himself. I said, yeah, go near her again, motherfucker, and see what happens. I dare you.
And then and can you imagine these stupid people, how they would react if, like, let's say there was some sort of global catastrophe, the grid goes down. These people aren't going to have the first clue what to do. They're going to starve to death.
Of course they are. They're not just going to starve to death. They have to come down off their drugs first. You know, one of the conversations I had with a young lady just recently was, she said to me, she goes, did you know he ended up in jail? I said, no, I didn't realize that. She said, yeah, he's back in jail yet again. And I went, okay, well, you know, doesn't surprise me. This is the guy that I threatened on the street and said, hey, you better watch yourself. You go near that girl again, I'm going to hurt you. Well, he ends up in jail. And then she goes, now, here's the thing, Sean. How's he going to come down off his OxyContin? I went, I know. He's not going to admit that he's on drugs, because if he does, of course, it incriminates him. So he's going to have to literally lay in jail and come down with the shakes, the whole fucking lot, by himself. So you've not just got a population that is not prepared in defending themselves or hunting for their own food. You've got a population that is coming down off their drugs and shit like that. It's like, you know what I mean? It's... They are their own worst enemy.
Yeah, exactly. Not to mention, you know, what are all the fatties going to do when they don't have all their chemical-laced foods, you know, the little snack cakes and everything else? That's going to be a real bad day.
They're going to start eating their pets, pretty much. Ooh. Well, you know, that's what happened in Poland when all of the farm equipment was stolen from the Polish. Basically, they had nothing to create food with, and they were getting their food confiscated as well. And the worst thing that I ever read was how the Polish started eating their own children.
I don't want to see that. I don't want to read that.
No, I know. Starvation, guess what? It's not the fault of the Polish themselves. They were assholes. There's no doubt about it. But it wasn't the fault of the Polish themselves when it comes to eating their own children. What it was is, when starvation clicks in, your brain changes. There's no control anymore. Your son ain't your son, your daughter ain't your daughter. And as much as we'd like to think that that would never happen to me, because I'm a loving parent, unfortunately, starvation changes everything. I remember when Brendan O'Connell was sent to prison and he started starving himself. He said he was even thinking of something along the lines of eating cardboard or eating the walls of the prison. That's how stupid your brain goes. So we've got to take a look at that aspect. And also, the worst aspect about this is not going to be the humans eating humans. It's going to be the wild dogs. Once the proverbial shit hits the proverbial fan, if it does in our lifetime, it'll happen, but it might not in our lifetime. I don't know. But if it does, we're going to witness the pets eating people. Dogs, we can't afford anymore, so you have to set them loose. Either that or you have to kill them. Probably the most humane thing to do would be to kill them, because you can't feed them anymore. And the last thing you want them to do is go out on the street and become wild in packs and start hunting people down. But that's one of the first things that happen. It's one of the first things that people don't understand. When you become, you go through a depression and you become poor and you've got nothing, you can't feed your dog anymore. So a lot of them set them out on the streets. And guess what the dogs were doing over there in the United States? They were fucking eating people. They were tracking people down in packs and eating people, because that's the only way they could survive. That's what's going to happen in the next depression. Fat people.
Well, and that's just one aspect. So what happens if, you know, there's no one to, like, sanitize the water anymore? You know, what's going to happen then? Everyone's going to die of, what is it called? Dysentery or?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know what you mean. You mean the unsanitary?
Yeah, they're going to die from dirty water, basically. In fact, that's going on in Venezuela right now.
Yeah, it is. In Venezuela, they're fucking suffering. And you know what? It's funny because when I mentioned this to Australians, mates, no one knows about it. I'm like...
Yeah, cholera, that's it. Thank you.
Cholera, that's it. Yeah. Yeah, no, but nobody knows about it. What's going on in Venezuela at the moment? They watch it one night, or they read it in the newspaper one night, and they line their kitty litter boxes with it the next. And I'm like,
well, that's just it. And they've put a total blackout on what's going on. Because remember last year they were talking about how bad it was with the water shortage and stuff. But then all of a sudden there was no more coverage. Because I think they don't want people to start thinking, hey, wait a minute. I might not be so comfortable one day. We might be in that position.
We
so they're not telling people how bad it is down there.
Exactly. We could end up in that position. And, you know, now, Venezuela is a good example of how quick it happens. It was literally fucking overnight. So everyone's sitting here comfortable in Australia and comfortable in America, in England, Ireland, Scotland, Switzerland, Germany, France. It doesn't matter. We're all really fucking comfortable. But guess what? It can just literally be like, and you're done. And then you go, hold on a second. In a week, since the government has done what it's done, or whatever party has done what it's done, we, in a week, are going to be starving, and we're going to be thirsty. There's going to be no clean water anymore. There's going to be no nothing. So, how are we going to deal with this? Hence why... I have what my kids call my doomsday drawer.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I've got like pastas and rices that will last me a good 7 years now. And I haven't stocked up on water, of course, but if I sniff something in the air, then I will start storing a lot of water real quick. We've got a lot of creeks
and
rivers
around. Well, in some ways, I mean, it's good to store water, but it's better to have to know how to clean it yourself. I've heard that shungite is supposed to be really effective at cleaning it. You just drop it in the water, and I think you leave it in for 48 hours, and that's supposed to purify it.
Yeah, that's right. Pardon me, mate, and I'm going to put a song on for a moment because I've just got a message on my phone. I'm going to put one of the songs on and just read this message and we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Two's Company, Three's Allowed. We're running a music show at the present time. I'm going to play one of my personal favourites, from the Days of Thunder soundtrack, Show Me Heaven.
Hey babe, come over here.
Up next is Compulsory Hero by 1927. Next, The Seeker by The Who, for Maiden.
a seeker. I've been searching low and high. I won't get to give what I'm after till the day I die. To get what I'm after till the day I die. People tend to hate me 'cause I never smile. As I ransack their homes, they wanna shake my hand. Focusing on nowhere, investigating miles. I'm a seeker, I'm a really desperate man. To give what I'm after till the day I die. I learned how to raise my voice in anger. Never look at my face, ain't this a smile? I'm happy when life's good, and when it's bad, I cry. Get to get what I'm after till the day I die. I won't get to get what I'm after till the day I die.
Up next, from that bat head biting off bastard called Ozzy Osbourne, Mr. Crowley.
You're waiting on Satan's door.
Mr. Crowley, that was by Ozzy Osbourne. As Jacko said there, maids, yeah, he really was taken in by that Jewess. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, he really was. I don't know how he can stand to listen to her, because she's got that, like, screeching, high-pitched voice, you know, like, Ozzy!
Yeah. Yeah, did you ever see the show called The Osbournes?
Yes, oh my god, that was insane. I do remember watching that back in the day when it was on MTV.
You know what, I didn't mind it. It was sort of my upbringing, as, you know, I mean, that's sort of what was my upbringing. After my mother left me at 14, I was taken in by my adoptive mum. And, you know, the upbringing that we had there, she was an excellent mum, don't get me wrong. She was fantastic. My adoptive mum was much better than my biological mum. But we had that upbringing where we were pretty rough around the edges. We weren't housos, but it wasn't unheard of that if we were sitting there and having an argument, I'd be like, oh, fuck you. And my biological, stepbrother would say, fuck you too, fuck you. And, you know, the mum would sort of had to walk out in between us and put a broom between us so we wouldn't punch each other in the head. So, yeah, it was pretty rough around the edges. But I sort of related to the Osbournes.
Hey, do you remember the episode where Sharon threw a giant ham at her neighbors because they were being really loud?
No, that was actually, it wasn't Sharon. That Ozzy threw the pig head over.
Was it that? I thought she threw a ham over.
I think one of them threw a ham over, and then someone, Ozzy threw a pig head or something like that. He gets up there, and then the cops turned up, and they said, hey, look, just don't be throwing good food over the fence.
Yeah, I remember that. I also remember one episode. I was watching this with my dad, and Kelly was complaining about the show. It was the valet Parker who farted in the car, and my dad said, "Ah, yes, the problems of the rich."
You know, ladies and gentlemen, I've just got to let you know that this is twice that Maiden has brought up farts as a subject. I do believe that this is a big part of her life, or a big part of her life. I mean,
You know what the problem is? I've been hanging out with you too much, Shawnee.
Whatever.
That's what it is.
Blame me. Yeah, good on you.
Absolutely, I will. Absolutely. You've dragged me down to your level, Shawnee. It's all your fault.
It's a blame the dog situation, ladies and gentlemen. So she sits there and goes, burp, and I go, who was that? And she goes, it was your dog, Sean. Yeah. It's a blame the dog situation.
That is not what happens at all, Sean. You are such a liar. I'm not even there in Australia, so even if I was doing that, you couldn't hear it. So,
excuse you. You're over there in America, which makes me perfectly know that it was indeed you that farted, because it comes through my speakers, not from my dog.
That is total bullshit. Stop lying to people like that. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't do that. Shawnee is a big fat liar, okay?
Yeah, but I'm a fun liar. All right, let's get to this one here. They're actually going to think I'm actually serious. No, she doesn't fart.
Yeah, I know, so you need to make a correction about that, okay? I don't want to hear these kind of emails. People are going to be writing you like, oh, that shield maiden is disgusting. Yeah.
Well, they're probably right. No, I'm joking.
Oh, fuck. All right. I'm definitely hanging up on you now. Click.
No. She doesn't fart, ladies and gentlemen. She just explodes. That's what happens to ladies. I don't get it. They say that we don't fart, right? So that, all right, no worries. One night you're laying in bed beside them, and they're like, you hear this, and you think, did she just fart? No. That she didn't fart. It's like a balloon blowing up and it's getting too big and you hear it going, right? And then all of a sudden, and you go, holy fuck, what just happened? There's blood splattered all over the walls. There's fucking pieces of skull.
Oh, Jesus Christ, Shawnee. I can't believe we're having this conversation. Just play another song, okay?
You were the one who brought up farts, not me. Yeah, you know it.
I was talking in reference to the Osbournes. You're the one who had to drag it out and make it disgusting. So this is all your fault.
All right, I'll play another song. Maiden, stop that.
Knock it off.
If you live in innocence, watch out. Live in innocence.
Soon to become come to the end of the music show, ladies and gentlemen. You've been listening to Two's Company Three's Aloud, TCTAUnleashed.com. The beautiful maiden was joining me here as well. I'm going to be playing Power of Love by Jennifer Rush. A lot of people think that Power of Love was actually done by Celine Dion, but it wasn't. She redid Jennifer Rush's Power of Love. I'll be playing that in a moment, but by all means, check out the latest article over there at TCTUnleashed.com and make your comments known. by all means.
The whispers in the morning of lovers sleeping tight are rolling by like thunder now as I look in your eyes. I hold on to your body and feel each move you make. Your voice is warm and tender, a love that I could not forsake. 'Cause I
one of my biological mother's favourite songs, and I requested it on the radio back in the day, and she just absolutely adored me for it. Love this next one. I tell you, you're gonna love it. It's called Dear Penis.
Dear Penis, I don't think I like you anymore. You used to watch me shave. Now all you do is stare at the floor. Oh, dear penis, I don't like you anymore. It used to be you and me, a paper towel and a dirty magazine. That's all we needed to get by. Now it seems things have changed. I think that you're the one to blame. Dear penis, I don't like you anymore. Now he sings, dear Rodney, I don't think I like you anymore. Cause when you get to drinking, you put me places I've never been before. Dear Rodney, I don't like you anymore. Why can't we just get a grip on our man-to-hand relationship? Come to terms with truly how we feel. If we put our heads together, we just stay home forever. Dear penis, I think I like you after all. Oh, and Rodney, while you're shaving, shave my balls.
Even worse, here comes Kevin Bloody Wilson's Master Farter, since our shieldmate has been a Master Farter this evening.
I first met him in the classroom back in 1963. We seemed to hit off pretty good. We were mates, Mick and me. He wasn't such a big kid even back then at the start. And he wasn't all that clever either, but Jesus, he could fart. I first found that out in class one day when things were going pretty slow. And just to keep us all amused, Mick let this fucking ripper go. Oh, God, you should have been there. Look, I'd describe it if I could. But I just turned around and I said, hey, Mick, you're fucking good. And at the inter-school grand final on the rugby field that time, we were getting beaten. They were 12 and we were 9 and played with 3 yards from our goal line when the referee called a scrum. And Mick said, don't worry, fellas, we've as good as got it won. So we just locked ourselves down in the scrum and we held each other's nose. And Mick, our little hooker, he let this fucking ripper go. Well, it stung their nose and it burnt their eyes and it even scorched the grass. And I twigged right then and there, he had a double-jointed ass. Mick, me mate the master farter, put the art back into farting with his custom-tailored farts. Mick, me mate the master farter, broke new ground in breaking wind with his double-jointed ass. And it was just a couple of years later, we both went to see Kamal. It was a really poshy sort of show in this great big bloody hall. And all the blokes were dressed like penguins. And you should have seen the sorts. And Kamal himself wore a Sheila's dress like a bloody black boy George. And we were all locked in there like sardines for the show to get underway. But the tuba player didn't lob. He'd booked off crook that day and Kamal said, without a tuba player, I cannot commence the show. So old Mick jumps up, said, Sambo, mate, I'll have a fucking go. Well, from then on in, I honestly thought that the whole show would be ruined. But he just winked at me and picked that tuba up just like he knew what he was doing. Then the maestro tapped his little stick to tell the band to start. Mick just shut his eyes and cocked his leg and then began to fart. Well, you could have heard a pin drop that night there in the hall. And it's hard to say who sounded best, Mick farting or Kamal. Then the audience just went apeshit. They cheered and clapped and stood. And Kamal smiled as if to say, hey, Mick, you're fucking good. Mick, me make the master farter. Put the art back into farting with his custom-tailored farts. Mick, me make the master farter. With his true pitch-perfect calibrated double-jointed ass. Well, good news travels fast, it seems, and it wasn't very long before Mick got this midnight phone call from Ben Lexon and Alan Bond. They said, Mick, we got this specialist job and we're prepared to pay ya. Mick, old son, would you consider farting for Australia? We'll just prop you on our brand new yacht when there's no sea breeze blowing, and get Mick the master farter the starter and keep the bastard going. So Mick went into training on sausage rolls and pies and Vegemite and Foster's beer and a scholarship from Heinz. The world had never seen before a yacht so finely groomed, or a crew so fit and young and strong, or an arse so finely tuned. The Yanks weren't even in the race, not even in the same class, what with Ben Lexon and his secret keel and Mick's fuel-injected arse. Well, he come back a bloody hero, didn't he? The All-Australian boy. And the government commissioned this bloke to do a big statue of his coin. And I can still see Mick standing there when they conferred his knighthood, and Bob Hawke pinning it on, saying, "Hey, Mick, you're fucking good. Mick, me mate the master farter, put the class back into farting with his designer label farts. Mick, me mate the master farter, with his true pitch perfect calibrated turbo thrusted fuel injected winds protected double jointed ass."
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're just about to end the music show now. I'm going to play one more. Maids in the chat room actually said, "Oh, you know, we need a serious song to take us out." Okay, so we're just going over 3 hours now. So we'll have a serious song to take us out. Here we go.
I wish I Nightwish. Had an angel for one moment of love. I wish I had your angel to.
Take care.
What do we got up next? We have You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC. After which we'll end the broadcast. Thanks for listening. You've been listening to Stumbling Through's Aloud. TCTAMLeash.com.